Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
This morning we're going to look at God's Word, and our text is John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. While you turn there, I want to ask you a question. Where do you belong? Where do you belong? Here at United Church, you're not going to get very many topical sermons. That's intentional. But you will get this topical sermon or some version of this sermon. I'm not preaching the same sermon every year, okay? But some version of this sermon every year. And it is topical, and the topic is Send Off Sunday. Look, you and I are a part of something really curious, a high mobility international church, and that is weird. We have a lot of strange issues, a lot of joys, and a lot of grief being a part of a community like this, constantly receiving people and sending people all over the world, and it's hard. And so this is one of our rituals to talk about it, talk about our identity, and this morning, belonging. So the text we're going to use this morning to guide our conversation is this brilliant introduction to who Jesus is. It's poetic, it's brilliant, it's beautiful. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Listen to God's word as I read it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Lord Jesus, we need grace and truth this morning. There's something that is not right with us, something that is right with you. And we need your free affection this morning. So please give us generously of your grace through your word, please. We pray this in your name. Amen. So where do you belong? I want to read from you, actually, from a children's book. This book is called Swirly. It's written by Sarah Saunders. This is a book that some of us who serve missionary families or work with cross-cultural kids will use to help them unpack this idea of belonging, this big identity question. So I hope you're not too grown up to learn from a children's book. I'm certainly not. And so I'm just going to read to you this children's book called Swirly. Once upon a time, a lovely new baby girl was born to a happy blue mother and a happy blue father, in a happy blue town in the blue country. The mother and father named their new baby Lila. They had great hopes to bring her up to be a proud, happy blue girl. Lila was just beginning to become blue when her parents decided to move to the yellow country. They took a long trip on many airplanes to get there. They made a new, happy blue home in the midst of a yellow town. They began to learn the ways of their yellow friends and neighbors. Lila's parents had already grown up to be blue. They learned yellow ways, but they themselves were still very blue. Lila, however, had not yet grown up to be completely blue. As she grew older in the yellow town, playing with her yellow friends, she began to grow a bit yellow, too. She was a swirl of blue from inside her home and yellow from outside, sometimes green. Lila had lots of fun with her yellow friends, but sometimes she felt different. Her blue thoughts and ways were different from theirs. "Sometimes, Lila, you just can't understand," they said. "Because you're blue, this isn't a place where you really belong." Lila wondered to herself, "Where do I belong? Maybe this isn't really my home. Maybe I really belong in the blue country because I'm blue, but I hardly remember it." One day, Lila's parents said, "We are going to visit our home, the blue country, and see all our happy blue family. Start packing." "Now I will finally see the place where I belong," Lila thought. She was excited. The blue country was exciting and different for Lila. She saw and felt and smelled and tasted many things that were new to her or that she had only heard stories about before. There was so much blue, just like her. This must be where she belonged. But Lila was also yellow. As she played and talked with her cousins, she noticed that they were different from her. They were all blue. Sometimes Lila acted or thought in yellow ways, and her cousins found this strange. "Sometimes you just don't understand things, Lila. Aren't you supposed to be like us? Aren't you supposed to be blue?" Lila thought, "I guess this isn't the place I belong either. Where do I belong?" Where do you belong? That's not just a question that is important for kids or for cross-cultural or third culture kids, as we call them. That's actually a question for all of us to answer together. When we're honest, we struggle with this question of where do I really belong? I want you to know that your church takes that question very seriously. We want to help you unpack that question. Why do we take it seriously? It's because you and I were created by our God to experience belonging. Or the way another pastor says it, we long to belong. Listen to his words. "Belonging is our primary human need. Beyond food and shelter, nothing promotes human flourishing like having a people and place of belonging. Research confirms that in promoting sustained happiness, income level, marriage and children, and perceived security all pale in comparison to belonging. We long to belong." So then, if it's so important, where do you belong? It's not just a question that our church takes seriously. Thankfully, that's a question that your God takes very seriously. That may surprise you. I don't know what your view of God is, the God of the Bible, but he's actually very concerned with your happiness and with you experiencing human flourishing. And he wants you to experience those things as they overflow from a healthy sense of belonging. So then where and to whom do you really belong? We belong with our God. We belong with his people, and we belong on his mission. First, we belong with our God. Andy Crouch is this brilliant writer and researcher whose voice I appreciate so much. A book he wrote a few years ago, he put this diagram up, actually, and I want you to take a look at it. You see up there on that top right corner, belonging, that's what we need. That right there, belonging, top right, that's where we experience flourishing and real happiness and fulfillment. In order to be there, we have to be known and we have to be loved. Unfortunately, many of us have experience on the left side of this chart, top left there, rejection. This is when we are known and we are not loved. In other words, someone says, "Okay, I see who you really are, and no thanks, I'm out." And then below rejection is what it's like to be ignored and rejected, which is when we're not known and therefore we can't really be loved. And I find it interesting what he's put here on the bottom right, fitting in. This is when we are not known, not really, but we are loved and adored and we have followers and people celebrate us and this and that. And actually fitting in is one of the main goals of our society. But you see how dangerous fitting in is, right? Like you can get through high school fitting in, keeping people kind of at arm's length. But if you're going to try and fit in for your whole life and never really let people in, you're going to be a slave to performance. And anytime there's something wrong with you, you're going to have to pretend to everybody else that there's nothing wrong with you. Fitting in will get you through high school, but it will not get you to human flourishing and real happiness. In our passage, Jesus tells us John tells us that Jesus is actually very familiar with the left side of that chart, right? Verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So Jesus was what? He was ignored. He was rejected. He was ignored and rejected by the very people he created, whose hearts beat inside them because of his creativity, because of his sustaining, because of his lordship. Those people rejected him. Rejection is powerful, isn't it? Rejection is really powerful. Some of you have felt that cross-cultural sort of rejection, right? Being from the blue country, living in the yellow country, going back to the blue country, and instead of being celebrated, you're actually critiqued. Instead of being embraced, maybe you feel excluded. Or maybe some of you are from the blue country, but you're living in the yellow country, and it's very apparent that you are not received in the yellow country. In fact, you are a weird foreigner in the yellow country, and you experience that sort of rejection. You don't just have to have a passport to experience rejection, right? Actually, you can open up your own story, and you can look and probably see signs of rejection for some of you, knowing your story that was from a parent who constantly frowned in your direction because you didn't look enough like them, or you didn't perform to their standards, or you didn't give them the things that they wanted you to give them. For others of you, it might be in friendship, when you had people who you finally let in to see you and to know you, and they're like, oof, I don't really like you. I'm gonna leave you. Or in romantic relationships, whether it's that experience of being abandoned or just the fact that no one ever bothered to get close enough to really know you so that they could love you. Rejection is powerful. Rejection hurts. This is one of the unique beauties of the gospel. Why do I say that? Because God knew that his eternal son Jesus would be rejected by his own, and yet the word still became flesh and dwelt among us. Eugene Peterson says it this way: the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's beautiful, isn't it? He got swirly with us. He got swirly so that he could be near us. But he doesn't just stop by coming near us. Look at the rest of the verse there, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus came to us, and he came to us to give us saving faith, hearts that would recognize him and would respond to him and to his good news of freely saving sinners. Hearts that would embrace him, initiating our adoption into his family, made us alive inside of our hearts, which is so, so beautiful. He came close to us to be with us and to save us, but it goes even further. Because Jesus didn't just move into humanity and experience the swirliness of humanity and the pain of the human experience. He actually got close enough to us to be stained by our sin and its shame. And therefore, he received the rejection of his eternal Father on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Rejected, forsaken by the Father, dying to save us. Why? It's so that we could experience that top right corner. Tim Keller uses these same words and terms and says, to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear, and it really is. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. Why did Jesus do all of this? It was to give us belonging into God's family as beloved daughters and sons. This means that God knew everything about you, all of your deep, dark secrets, all of your issues, your stubbornness, your mess, and he sent his son Jesus to come close enough to actually do something about all of that. And so if you are trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then guess what? Right now, he looks at you and he smiles. And he says, beloved daughter, beloved son, with you, I am well pleased. Isn't that beautiful? That's the gospel. You belong to God, and there's nothing that can undo that. Why am I making such a big deal of this? Because if you don't know that you belong to God, you're going to live a really tough existence as you explore these questions of belonging. It's going to be crushing to you when you're rejected. But guess what? If you know that you are loved and accepted by your God, it's okay if somebody else rejects you. It's okay because Jesus loves me. And nothing, nothing can change that. Isn't that beautiful? You belong to your God. Second, we belong with each other. I want to hit this on a couple different levels. This is Send Off Sunday, so I do want to tell you a little bit about the globally mobile people group to which many of us belong. And to kick that off, I'll read a little bit more in our story here. Lila's parents decided to move to a new place. They said goodbye to their friends in the Yellow Town and promised to keep in touch. Their next new blue home was in a red town. In the red country. They began to learn the ways of their new red friends and neighbors. Lila was still growing up. As she played with her new red friends, she began to grow a little red too. She was becoming even more swirly. In school, Lila made a new friend who wasn't all red. Deji was swirly like her. He had orange and green and purple and red. Lila understood a lot of things about Deji. He understood a lot of things about her. He knew what it was like to want to belong somewhere too. And they became very good friends. If you feel like you don't belong in your passport country, if you feel like you don't belong in your host country, then it just may be that you don't belong to a place as much as you belong to a people, the globally mobile. Who are the globally mobile? Well, there are an estimated 272 million international migrants in the world today. Within that group are the people we would identify as the globally mobile. These are people who move countries and will, in all likelihood, at some point, move again. Some do it very often, some do it a little more spaced out, but they are people on the move, jumping from country to country. That group of people is about 85 million strong, which is a little over the population of the country of Turkey. And now sociologists are beginning to look at that people and say, you know what we have here? We have a people group, a new people group to be studied, to be reached, to be identified with. And as I was doing this research pre-pandemic, I learned that this people group of 85 million is growing at a rate of about 6% per year. It's a force, and it is becoming more and more the predominant human narrative. Sociology is very interesting, right? It's interesting to know that there are people like you out there. But that's not really what we're here to talk about. Because if you belong to God, then what it means is that you belong to God's people. And this passage tells us something really interesting about God's people. God's people are not defined by borders of countries or by passports or by bloodlines. Look at what defines God's people. The children of God are children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Okay, this is God building a family of all kinds of sinners from all kinds of places, joining us together by the blood of Jesus, regenerating our hearts, adopting us into the family, making us alive so that we're responsive followers of Jesus. This is God's family, which is called the church. This is the church. Paul describes the church this way. He's using the language of the human body, Romans 12:5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. In other words, we don't just belong to God, we belong to each other. I belong to you. You belong to me. And this changes everything for people in an international church, right? Most of you hearing this sermon this morning are not leaving, you're staying. You're staying. Eventually you'll leave, perhaps, but most of you are staying. And Lord willing, despite this crazy pandemic that we're all tired of, we're going to start to receive new people into our community. This morning we had a new family in the first service. Actually, they were an old family, but they're finally back to live here again. We're going to start to receive new people. There are two ways you could think about new people coming into your church. You could look at them and you can say, well, here comes another crop. They're going to be here for 2 years. And if we attach ourselves and my children develop friendships with their children, it's going to really, really hurt when they leave in 2 years. So probably safest just to do this with them for the next 2 years. You could say that, or you could recognize the fact that the blood of Jesus really does unite us together. And you could look at this newcomer, and you could say, that is my sister, that is my brother in Jesus Christ. And you know what? I belong to them, and they belong to me. So let's connect our lives for these next few years, just like Jesus has already mysteriously connected our souls. Can you do that? Now, for those of you who are leaving, it's a few of you here this morning. It's more of you on the live stream. I hope you hear how vital, how absolutely vital it is to be connected to the body of Jesus in your new host country, wherever you go. There are churches, I'm willing to bet, in your new host country. There may even be weird, swirly churches like our weird, swirly church. And your elders and I would love to help you find that, find something that's a good fit for you, where you're going to hear God's word clearly preached every week. You're going to receive the sacraments and be loved and experience the love of Jesus through your church. We want to help you find that. Is that church going to be just like our church? No. It's not. It may be better. It may be worse. I don't really know if you've measured churches in better or worse. It's going to be different. And so I challenge you, not only find the church, but come in with open hands and an open heart to be engaged and to engage people and the ministries there in your new host country and host church, because we belong to each other. And guess what? Distance doesn't change that. And passports and borders and bloodlines cannot take that away. So connect and engage with each other. You belong to me. I belong to you. Lastly, we belong on mission. True confessions. Every year, I agonize over this week and over this sermon. It just pulls at my heart in ways I don't like it. Because I don't like having to say goodbye to people I love. And I suspect many of you, if you live in this lifestyle, feel the same way. This hurts. This really hurts. But you know what? We don't call this Farewell Sunday. We don't call this, well, my kid's got to find the new best friend Sunday. We don't call this, I need to protect myself, and so fine, just go. I never wanted to really be your friend anyways, Sunday. We call this send-off Sunday. Because if you are with us and you are leaving us, then you are being sent by us as agents on God's global mission. You are missionaries. We need you to be our missionaries. To do what? Well, to follow Jesus. Look at his mission. Look down there at verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. So what do we want you to be on our behalf? We want you to be agents of grace and truth wherever you land. We want you to put on the flesh and blood of that host culture as best you can and to learn and to dignify and to invest and to celebrate and to affirm and to challenge and to speak the truth in love and to contextualize and to live in a way that embodies grace and truth. Telling people the truth about Jesus, and yes, maybe even some hard truths about themselves, and then allowing them to experience no strings attached love of Jesus, that love that we experience. Please, we need you to be that for us. You are our agents on mission. And sociologically speaking, you are strategic agents on that mission. You know how to navigate culture and language. You have a global perspective. You can get into countries that your government or your school or your business are going to pay for that mission agencies can't send missionaries to. You often have influence and a decent platform from which to speak. You have seen real poverty. Your heart has been moved by real injustice. Your children are incredibly gifted agents to move throughout the world and impact. In fact, there's no one who is more gifted to lead our mobilizing world like your children and to be leaders of the church therein. You've been with us. You've learned with us. You've shared with us. You've experienced God's grace and his impact on every part of our lives and in our world. And so please, 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 we beg of you, go and tell people about Jesus. Please go and tell people about Jesus. You belong on God's mission. Where do we belong? We belong with God, and we belong with each other, and we belong on his mission. I want to close by finishing out this story for you. One day, Lila went to Deji's house after school to do homework and to play. Deji had told her that his mother was swirly, too. Lila had never met a swirly grown-up. While they were doing their homework, Deji's mother came to check on them. "Mom," said Deji, "we have a question for you." Lila nodded. "What's that?" asked Deji's mother. "Did you ever wish you could belong somewhere?" asked Deji. Deji's mom smiled and said, "I did. But I don't have to wish that anymore because now I know where I belong." "Really?" asked Lila. "Where's that? And how did you find it?" "First of all," said Deji's mother, "you should know that someone very special and powerful is swirly too. Can you guess who?" Lila and Deji shook their heads. "I'm talking about Jesus," said Deji's mother. "He left his first country and family in heaven to grow up in a country on earth, in a country on our earth. When he was very little, his family moved to another country on earth and then back to the first one. Now he lives in the heart of people in every country of the world, and all their colors are a part of him. Being swirly like Jesus is a special blessing. Being swirly sometimes helps us understand people and ways from all colors, countries. So, if you're red or yellow, blue or green, or maybe every color in between, where do you belong?" "Right next to Jesus' heart. That's where." And Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for that. That in the mixed up mess of our lives, that there we are, close to your heart. That you love us, that you've given us of yourself freely. Jesus, help us to do likewise. Help us to be on your mission, agents of your grace and your truth. And do bless our community as we figure this out, this idea of belonging in your world and to you and to each other and on your mission. This we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so before we sing, first of all, if you want to do communion, you're going to need to get those purple packets out on the lobby if you haven't gotten that already. But I also just want to ask, I know we've got folks on the live stream who are leaving, but I do want to ask if there's anyone here this morning who's about to move away to another country. And if you are, you can stand up. And if you just stood up, then we're not going to think that you're leaving. Yeah, we've got a few folks that are about to take off. Okay. All right, let me pray for you, okay? Lord, thank you for these sisters and brothers. Thank you for the experience of having them in this country, in this city, on mission here with us, Lord, whether that's at El Camino or in their various vocations, Lord. I give you my friends and ask, Lord, for your abundance of blessing on them as they go as your agents of mission. Lord, before they go, would you help them to be able to say healthy goodbyes? Would you help them to be able to grieve in a proper way the things that they're leaving behind so that they can land well and connect well? Lord, you have taught us so much that before you can say hello, you have to say a healthy goodbye. So we do pray for that experience. We pray that you would bless families involved, that you would protect children, that you protect marriages, you protect mental health, Lord. Please give these people your peace. Lord, we pray that as they arrive in their new host country, that you would bless them to be able to connect to your people there. Already, Lord, please prepare a way for them, a place for them, people there who love them and who love their children, who want to point to Jesus. Lord, please give them a healthy church and church experience within which to serve. And Lord, we pray for our church. You'd help us to be resilient as we send and as we receive, and you'd give us a heart for your mission in this peculiar way that you have put us on it. So this I pray, bless these people, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.